It's the Mayo News Football Podcast. I'm Mike Finnerty, and you're welcome to what we're calling the Any Other Crack Podcast, our attempt to try and talk as much as possible about items and subjects and topics other than the Mayo Senior Football Team. But rest assured, the Mayo Senior Football Team will feature quite a bit over the next wee while. Later on in the show, at the very end of the show, for our club members, we'll be taking a trip into the members' clubhouse, where we'll be discussing some of the players that haven't featured for Mayo just yet in the National League, and talking you through who they are and when we might see them. And we'll also, over the course of the show, talk about everything from, will the Mayo Galway game be played in McHale Park on the 24th of April? How are the Mayo senior footballers and all the other county teams managing without having pitches or a dedicated pitch even to train on at the moment due to the bad weather? And also, we will chat a bit about the Mayo Under 20s and the new Mayo Senior Club League structures. All going well, we'll hit those topics and a few more during the course of this week's podcast. To do so, I'm joined here at a remote location, identity to be revealed shortly, by two familiar faces, Ger Flanagan and Ed McGrail. We're sitting around a table for the first time in a while, coffee's at hand, and it almost feels like it used to, back in the day. Ed, how are things?
Thanks, Mike. Yeah, it's interesting you say any other crack, because definitely the place we are in the TF here, like the crack that was here when we were growing up, and we're not too far from where Panama Jacks used to be, and we were fairly restless back in those days.
I'm surprised your memory it goes back that far. Panama Jacks, that was before your time, Ger.
Long before my time, yeah. The TF was even before my time, really. Ed, sorry to say that. It used to be good for a New Year's Eve party, I think it was. Saw Doctors was pretty legendary there when I was growing up, but that's about the height of it.
I'm around so long, I think I came here from my communion dinner back in the 80s. But yeah, we've come to the TF in Castlebar. Where else to talk football? And lads, we'll dive straight in. As I said, we decided on a down week for the Mayo football team that we try and talk about a few other topics in no particular order. We'll chat a bit about the Mayo under 20s. We'll talk about the Mayo senior leagues and the restructuring. We'll get the benefit of Ger's experience and insight on those couple of topics. And we'll finish up a little bit later on with the Patreon members clubhouse. That's for all our Patreon members who are going to dive in and have a listen to what we've got to talk about in there. But we'll kick off, maybe, as I go right back on myself, and talk a little bit about the Mayo senior football team, because right off the top, it's what everyone is talking about this weekend, really, isn't it? The fact that Mayo are sitting pretty in second in the Division 1 table on score and difference, unbeaten, and considering what happened just a few months ago in that All-Ireland final, to think three wins and a draw, you'd have taken it before the ball was thrown in against Donegal a few weeks ago in Sligo, wouldn't you?
Without a shadow of a doubt, Mike. And when we saw the first round of league action, you were thinking, my God, this Division 1 is going to be very competitive. And Mayo's performance that first day against Sligo wasn't very reassuring. For three quarters of the game, they rallied, obviously, and got the draw late on. And you were wondering, how would Mayo fare out? How ready were they for it? But the reaction since then, you'd have to say, has been very positive. The performances have, particularly against Dublin, in parts against Monaghan, and in maybe the last 10 minutes in particular against Armagh, the performances have been good. It hasn't papered over all the cracks. There's still issues there, and there's still plenty to discuss in terms of positives and negatives. But certainly in terms of getting back on the horse, and just, I think there's a better atmosphere around it now. And I think it's important that it's an even keel. It's not people getting too excited. But at the same time, I think we couldn't wait for football to get back started, because the post-mortem into last September was necessary. But it's better to have that post-mortem backdropped against a game you're still playing. How are Mayo playing now compared to September? Whereas up until the first league game, there was a vacuum. It was just depression all around the county. Whereas now there's a little bit more context for it, and you can assess things. You can't forget about what happened in September. That's going to be the benchmark for every performance you see from here on in. What has changed? but it's great to be able to compare and contrast now with games.
All our club members at this stage will have heard, I'm sure, the Final Whistle podcast, the Match Review podcast. If you haven't, head to patreon.com/Mayo podcast. You'll hear Edwin, John, Rob, Colin Boyle. We heard from James Horan as well. So that's one of the reasons why we're not going to spend too long talking about the Mayo Armagh game. But you're obviously working in Elveries now. You're no longer spending 24 hours a day with myself and Ed and the rest of the Mayo News team, which is probably no harm. So give us an idea. What's the outside world saying? What's the mood out there among the Mayo people you're talking to this week off the back of the Armagh game?
But I think I have to say, as Ed said it, you know, the mood and the atmosphere is just so much different now. It's so much more notable as compared to, you know, the anger that was out there after the last All-Ireland final and the time in between that to that point. You know, it seemed like at some stages it was so negative that you felt Mayo football might never ever recover. And next thing, it's back up again, back on the horse. Mayo are playing well, looking really, really excited, and people are getting giddy again. Obviously, no one is getting ahead of themselves, because we know at this age, that's not gonna do us any favors. But you know, I just think the way that Mayo have been playing, I think getting over the line against Dublin, playing pretty well against there, coming out of the Monaghan game with a result, and coming out of the Armagh game with the last day with a result, having been behind for so long, and to scrape it out and to finish so strong against a team who were flying, you know. And no doubt about it, Kieran McGeaney, I'd say, had the Armagh boys absolutely revved up to the gills to beat Mayo. And Mayo still somehow managed to win it. I thought it was really, really interesting listening to Colin Boyle on the podcast, where he mentioned that James Horan would often say to them, you know, you might only get ahead late on in this game, but that's all you need to do. And I just found that such a fascinating insight into what the camp must be feeling. And it showed. I was on listening to Midwest the last day, and the atmosphere sounded absolutely unbelievable. And, you know, when Paddy Durkin kicked that score at the end, and watching the videos back and seeing the reaction and just talking to people, I think, about it. There's an excitement there. There's an excitement there. But obviously, we all know it's a reserved excitement, as far as the league goes.
Not bad for a team that has nowhere to train, no set home to train on at the moment. Just to recap, over the last few weeks, we've heard they've Mayo senior football team have trained in Swinford, they've trained in Island 80, the AstroTurf in Castlebar Mitchells, and they were in Gary Moore last week as well. So one of the things I wanted to ask you, from your experience with Ball, and obviously you've got a good handle on what it takes to prepare for elite Gaelic football matches, How are Mayo managing, do you think, that situation that they've got nowhere to train at the moment due to the bad weather? Obviously, Mikhail Park is out of commission as well. Should we be giving them even more credit than we're giving them, considering they're able to produce these performances like they did against Dublin and Armagh, while essentially travelling the high roads and by roads during the week and training on all these different grounds?
I think so. I'm involved with the under-16s in Ball at the minute, and our pitches are so wet, like so many other pitches. We just haven't been able to train basically at all Rio over the last 3 weeks. A session here or there, and when we have been training, it's been on a patch of grass at the back pitch, which is, you know, there's very little grass left, let's just say that. And that's with 14, 15, 16 lads. So you'd imagine what it's like when you have an army of a team, you know, 50 people there, give or take, that's going to be on the grass between players, probably more, between players, managers, selectors, medical staff. You know, that's a unit of people. And when you can't get a good, proper place, a consistent place to train, you know, a place where the players can feel comfortable and, you know, have a knowledge of the place, I think that helps too. Knowing you're training in the same spot just brings a certain comfort to it. It's like training in your home pitch and playing in your home pitch. You'll always feel a bit better there. And when there's a bit of uncertainty going into every week, whether you'll be training here or there, whether it's going to be on a grass surface, whether it's going to be on an AstroTurf surface, whether it's going to be on any surface at all, I can't imagine what it's like from a logistics point of view and from a mental preparation point of view from the players as well, because they're probably worried too. You know, they could easily pick up an injury going to a pitch where they know very little about the surface. And you'd imagine that'll affect them in the long run, but they seem to be getting on all right.
Ed, that leads me on to three words that have given a lot of people, I would say, a lot of sleepless nights in Mayo over the last 5 years, 10 years: centre of excellence. I was at the county board meeting last week where the chairman, Seamus Toohey, said this is a situation that didn't arise today or yesterday in relation to Mayo having nowhere to train this time of year. And just maybe again to give the listeners a little bit of background, Seamus Toohey has put a committee in place now to look at developing two pitches at the back of McHale Park, as he refers to them, Mulvey Park and the lower pitch, looking at putting in an all-weather surface on one, a 4G or a 5G surface on the other. At the moment, they're at a very preliminary stage in terms of costings, making out a plan, coming up with a timeline. Figure of 1 or 2 million euro has been mentioned, so it's going to take some time for that to happen. And unfortunately, unlike so many other counties, Sligo, Donegal, Kerry, Tyrone, Meath, and so on and so forth, Mayo don't have a centre of excellence for a myriad of different reasons, but it leaves the Mayo seniors, the hurlers, the under-20s and the under-17s at the moment, not to mention the academy teams, in this situation where they are literally going from day to day, night to night, where they don't know where they're going to train and where they might be, the, you know, just a few hours later in some cases. It's not ideal, and yet you wonder how we're going to come up with a solution. Certainly won't be in the short term.
No, and you see, years ago we would have discussed that the biggest issue for Mayo was they had so many players in Dublin and they had split training sessions. That is much less of an issue. I'm not sure of the exact numbers. Last year at one stage there was only two players based in Dublin and the rest were at home. So it meant collective training was, you know, the stuff Mayo need to be working on. You need a full group of training for that. You get the advantage of having people based in the West and you lose it by not having the same place to be on in terms of, like, I remember when playing with Brafey, when we were training Ballyhane and training Brafey, fellas couldn't wait to get back to Brafey. It felt like home, you know? Like, Ballyhane was a great pitch and it was a great pitch in winter, but it could be bleak. And fellas just couldn't wait to get back to where they knew, and it just felt like a change in the season almost. It is unsettling if you're moving around, and it is a huge issue that Mayo don't have a centre of their own. And look, there's plenty of reasons, but I think the single biggest one is McHale Park. Well, it's McHale Park, and the cost that still is, I suppose, you know, is still restricting Mayo GA in terms of any projects like this. The investment that they put into McHale Park and the debt that they're still servicing. And it's probably the single biggest reason, one of the reasons why the Lochlannan project didn't go ahead. You know, and it's not going to solve itself in the short term. The two pitches that Seamus Toohey is on about, I'm not too sure if the one behind the Albany Inn is full size. It seems very tight anyway. And there's a lot of work to be done there. And I think it's very interesting as well to hear Dermot Butler saying, be under no illusions that McHale Park will not be used, the main pitch will not be used for training. The senior team did a lot of their training there. If that's not going to be available for training, well then, you know, the work going on there is incidental to this current problem. You know, if it's only going to be used for games, this issue is still going to arise if Mayo cannot find a proper training base. So it is a big issue and it's not going to go away.
Yeah, interesting to see Seamus too. He also said in the longer term, he would like to see a centre of excellence. But as Ed said, I think with the emphasis on the words longer term, sure, you can't mention pitches and Castlebar and questions about them without mentioning the 24th of April. It's becoming more and more of a talking point because now it's only, 7 weeks away? That's the Connacht Championship game, Mayo Galway, penciled in for McHale Park. Again, just to bring people up to speed, there was an inspection there last month. Things were on target. There's a very big inspection coming up in 2 or 3 weeks. And I gather a decision will have to be made by the latest 1st of April on whether or not McHale Park is ready to host Mayo Galway or not, whether or not the pitch resurfacing will be of a sufficient quality and standard. you're not a graduate in horticulture, as far as I'm aware, but you know a fair bit about land, pitches, and West of Ireland weather. What's your best guesstimate of whether or not we'll all be in Castlebar on the 24th of April, or whether we'll be somewhere entirely different?
My gut feeling is if they're pushing now, you know, like, what is the stages up to the match? Do you allow training or some other form of match a couple of weeks beforehand to test it out, or are they just going to go straight in with the match? Because if that's the situation, then I just can't see it being possible. It seems too close now. And like, the problem is when you resurface a pitch, it has to get the time to develop and to breathe. And if you go in early on it, even if it's a month early, if it's 2 weeks early, if it's dug up and it's not fully developed, then you have a really, really, really big issue in the long term. Mm-hmm. And you know, Mayo have only one shot at this pitch. You know, do you rush it and ruin it potentially and suffer a lot more consequences down the line, or do you give up what is going to be home advantage in McHale Park for a longer term vision and you know, pay that short term penalty?
I can only imagine James Horne is hoping, praying and applying as much pressure as he can to make sure it is ready. But we've seen in the last week or two here, the weather has fluctuated wildly. And my understanding is we're now, as we record this, it's the 2nd of March. In less than 4 weeks, a decision will be made by the Connacht Council as to whether or not the game is going ahead. So that seems like a very tight timeline, all right?
Seems very tight. I mean, I can't see it personally. You know, I think someone would probably have to just make the decision very early, because I said there's no point rushing this. You know, they've invested so much money, so much time into this. McHale Park needs to be absolutely perfect for the next number of years, and given the weather, given the unpredictability of it, you know, it'd be great if you got good weather from here to March and you're guaranteed, and you know, a good crop will grow and the ground is going to settle. But you know, how much rain are we going to get from here into April? And as I said, if you're just going to go straight in cold and play a match there without it being tested at all, I think you're asking for trouble.
Ed, just following on from that, again, the inquiries I've made, and insofar as I can ascertain, as they say in the business, Pierce Stadium, Salt Hill, is obviously a strong alternative if McHale Park isn't ready. And Croke Park, where Mayo and Galway went last year to play the Connacht final, has also been mentioned as a possibility. Where are we more likely to end up, do you think, if McHale Park isn't ready? And is there any good reason to bring everyone to Croke Park, or not to bring everybody to Croke Park again? What do you think?
I think James Horne's opinion on this will be crucial. And Ger mentioned there, and he's right, like, you know, being able to get used to the new pitch is a huge part of this. Like, it's meant to be home advantage. And that pitch hasn't been as much of a help as it could have been in recent years. And the hope is that this will change. But if Mayo are not able to train on it and get used to it, are they at a disadvantage? And therefore, is James Horne thinking, would we be better off going to Croke Park? And there's logistics then about it. Does that mean they lose their home advantage, that the next game is in Pierce Stadium or whatever? But like, it's Mayo's home game, so if they cannot play it in Castlebar, I can't see them conceding a home advantage to Galway. And I think with the way the Connacht final went last year in Croke Park, I think that could be coming very close to being James Horne's preferred option right now. And certainly, I think if they're not able to get access to the pitch in advance, I think Croke Park, the Hyde was in great condition the last day. I think it's probably a bit too small for the game, as in terms of capacity. The pitch itself would definitely suit Mayo and their style of play. But I think Croke Park, but it will be a PR disaster for Mayo County Board. There's no getting away from it. I hope Tommy Maron has no holidays booked in April, because his phones are going to be lighting up if this game isn't going ahead in Castlebar. Because you're not alone talking about the sending people cross-country for a Connacht final again, or for a Connacht championship game again. But you're also talking about the loss to the local economy. And there's enough, upset and annoyance about the fact that the league games aren't being played in Mayo. And if you lose a championship game to the county as well, yeah, it's going to be very hard to package it appropriately, you know. But you know, maybe they're closer than they're letting on, but the soundings I'm hearing from that county board meeting might just wouldn't fill you with great confidence.
Yeah, just a couple of more quotes from that meeting. Seamus Toohey saying, everything is on target at the moment and progressing nicely. He mentioned that inspection in the second week of March to make the final decision. If we were to take it the second week of March, would be the final decision. That leaves us with a fortnight. And I would say I wouldn't be making any plans to book accommodation in Castlebar, certainly for the 24th of April, if that was the case. And I suppose Seamus's last line on it was pretty telling. Hopefully at this stage the game will go ahead on April 24th in Castlebar. But before we wrap up talking about facilities, I suppose just to jump back to that that development about that's been talked about at the moment about the two back pitches. The prospect of trying to raise 1 or 2 million, again, we're waiting on the exact figures here, but trying to do that against a backdrop where you don't have an operation and finance manager in place just yet. You're trying to service the debt on the McHale Park development from 10, 15 years ago now at this stage. And obviously we're in a post-COVID world. It's not going to be easy for the Cairde Mayo committee. Maria Staunton, the former Mayo ladies footballer, is the new chairperson. They did great work to fundraise through the Lake Mayo project last year, selling the tiles at McHale Park. That paid for the resurfacing of McHale Park. But that was a fundraising project. I think it raised 200, 250, maybe 300,000. You hear the figure of 1 or 2 million, and it's a whole different ballgame.
Absolutely, yeah. And, you know, if they did do well to raise that amount, it just shows what's in front of them. And as well, it's like, it's not as if you're fundraising for a centre of excellence where there's a long-term plan. It sounds like getting these two pitches up to standard like is a stopgap. They'll obviously be, if they go down the line of a centre of excellence in 5 or 10 years' time, those pitches will still be available, they'll still be there, etc., etc. But they're a hard sell because they're been sold as a stopgap, you know, as a short-term solution. So, yeah, I just think it's not going to be simple to raise the money there. The county, in response to questions from John Farrer, I think he said the clubs can't be levied for any of this. They said they won't. So that's another avenue that's gone. Like that's not available to them. Like, you know, so it's not going to be simple. And again, it's just, I keep saying it, like the debt is the biggest obstacle to fundraising projects. And then you have the fact that there's a position there that they've tried to fill for a couple of years and haven't been able to fill it, where there is potential to harness the goodwill of Mayo GAA around the world. And they don't even have the person in place yet to do that. So it just feels we're from that side of things, we're not performing to the level, or certainly not attaining the level of support that is out there. And that's looks like it's going to be an ongoing problem.
Right, we're going to switch the focus now. We're going to get jurors' insight into the under-20s and the club structures as well. And for all the club members, later on in the show, in our clubhouse, Ed and I are going to have a chat about some of the guys we haven't seen yet in the National League who are part and parcel of the Mayo squad and who will be hoping to get some game time before the 24th of April. And we're going to talk a little bit more about their chances of getting that game time and try and fill you in on who you mightn't have seen just yet that will be hoping to impress James Horan in the coming weeks and months.
Want even more Mayo football podcasts? Become a member of our Patreon club to get bonus pods, join our Discord chat group, and ask us anything about Mayo football, all for just €5 a month plus VAT. Go to patreon.com/Mayo Podcast.
Jura, I want to chat to you for a few minutes as we jump around a bit from topic to topic about the under-20s, the Mayo under-20 footballers, because whether we like it or not, just a few weeks until they're out in the championship, and it is most certainly one of those competitions that has snuck up on us It's Mayo Galway in the Connacht Under 20 Championship preliminary round on Wednesday, the 6th of April. Now, maths was never my strong point, but I make that about 4 weeks until Mara Sheridan brings his team into championship action. And just to bring maybe the listeners up to speed, we're two rounds into the Leo Murphy Cup, which is the under 20 tournament, the pre-season tournament, as it were. Mayo beat Roscommon a couple of weeks ago in Bacon. And last weekend, they made the marathon journey to the Loop in Derry to be beaten by a point. That was some round trip, I'd imagine. But it's obviously a grade that a lot of people are interested in, a lot of listeners are interested in. One of the main reasons for that is it's obviously the breeding ground for the future seniors. Now, there are five members of the senior squad in with the under-20s this season. In no particular order, you've got Donegan McHugh from Castlebar Mitchells. You've got Sam Callanan and Frank Irwin from Ballina. You've got Paddy Heenahan from the Mitchells. And you've got Rory Kane from Mayo Gales. So we might just chat about the under-20s for a few minutes. You're not under-20 anymore, but you're closer to it than I am. What do you know? What can you tell us? How are they shaping up? And are they a team that you feel can go places this year? Because, of course, under 20 knockout championship. So it's win or bust against Galway on the 6th of April.
Yeah, well, first of all, I think the way the under 20 championship is now, Mike, it's, as you said, sneaks up on you because it's just kind of turned into a championship that the GAA just seem to want to get done and over with, and get out of the fixture calendar, which is a shame because it's a great championship when it was at under 21 level. Because of that, it's very, very hard to get a proper sense of where they're at. Because it's so early in the year, particularly now with all those guys involved with the senior team, five main lads, I think an even bigger question mark hangs over them, because with them, they'll be very good. You'd imagine they'll be very strong. Donegan McHugh with Callanan played senior football already this year, senior league. They haven't looked out of place. Rory Kane, Frank Irwin played last year as well, didn't look out of place. And Paddy Heenan are five serious additions. And the question mark hangs over if they'll be allowed to play. You'd hope they will. You'd imagine they probably will. In that case, you'd imagine Mayo will be very strong going into that Galway game. Their Leo Murphy Cup format has been, you know, up and down. Two games, one win, one loss. Good win the first day out against Roscommon, but probably disappointing one against Derry. And I'm informed that Derry were missing a couple of key members of that team, albeit they're quite a strong team and they've gone very well at underage. So it's, you know, it's hard to get a proper grasp of where they're at, because, you know, the Leo Murphy Cup is so different to the championship when it comes around. It's very much just a breeding phase where Mara Sheridan is probably just trying to nail down his team. You know, there's a pretty big difference in the two starting 15s that played both of those games. So you'd imagine he's still trying to get a feel for it. And when he doesn't have the use then of the five lads involved with the senior team, or at least three of them anyway, I'd say if you ask Mara Sheridan himself where he's at, he probably wouldn't be able to tell you.
Yeah, it has to be tricky trying to train, trying to prepare without the five seniors. And obviously, even last weekend, they go all the way to Derry. They've got Rory Kane and Paddy Heenahan, but they don't have the other three who are all in with the Mayo seniors. But look, that's just the way the cookie has crumbled. Now, in terms of the team itself, from what I can gather, from what I'm hearing, the goalkeeper position seems to be up for grabs. And the three positions in the full forward line, I gather as well, are being very, very keenly contested. But from 2 to 12, I hear Mayo are going to be very strong, and it's got quite a settled look to it. Now, when I look at the team list from the Derry game at the weekend, a few players stand out. You've got Fenton Kelly from Davits in the middle of the field, or around the middle of the field. You've got Jack Fallon from Mayo Gales, Bob Toohey from the Mitchells, Dylan Thornton from the Stephenites. You imagine they'll be all somewhere around that middle third. Who else do we need to keep an eye out for and an ear out for in terms of who could be big players in that Galway game?
I think there's a few. I've heard big things about Keane McHale from Moy Davits. Really, really highly rated over in East Mayo, your own club man there. Keane O'Connell, a good athletic star, you know, a lot of pace, a lot of power, has an eye for a goal. You know, Paul Walsh, we've all seen what he can do at Mayo minor level. He was excellent at that year. Probably hasn't pushed on as much as you'd like him to have done, but still a lot to give. Defensive wise, Oisin Toney from Braefy, you know, he was in, spent a bit of time with the Mayo seniors not too long ago.
Aidan Cosgrove from Kilshamaw, brother of Donovan, former Mayo captain. I know they were rated really, really highly back in the minor level. I'll give a shout out to my own clubmate Ryan Fadden there as well, who has an awful lot to give athletically. He's a freak, and I think, you know, if he doesn't start, he's an unbelievable impact sub. So they're guys that I'm picking out. Obviously, Rory Moran, another man who did well with the Mayo Minors in the past. I think could have a lot to show. So it's, yeah, you know, just looking at the team here in front of me, like it is difficult to pick a starting 15. I see Ronan Hughes from the Neil on the bench there as well. Another player who, I was really impressed with last year in the senior championship. I saw him against Kiltane, I think it was the third round of the championship last year. He played centre back for them, and I thought he was really, really good. You never thought he was, 17, 18 years old, 19, whatever it was. He was, yeah, big, powerful man and commanding the game.
Yeah, one other player I forgot to mention there in terms of big men around the middle. He was captain actually last weekend against Derry. It was Conor Reid from Moydavitts. He's another big unit and a really good footballer. So they're out in the third round this coming Saturday in, as far as I know, Letterkenny. It's round about the 2 o'clock mark, round three. But as Mara Sheridan said in his interview after the game last weekend, this is all about getting minutes into players, trying to settle on a squad, on a team, and then you put the five seniors back in on the 6th of April and you hope it all comes together. Of course, it did last year. That Galway game went to extra time, it went to penalties, and then Mayo so disappointed in the final against Roscommon. Before we wrap up on the under-20s, Ger, I suppose the only other question I'd ask you is, have we any idea, or are we any closer to knowing why the under-20 championship is straight knockout? The minors gone to round robin, and obviously there are going to be, 96 senior inter-county games from 2023 on, and yet the under-20, one shot, winner bust.
I don't know, Mike. My source is underground at the GA, and as sharp as it once was. It's ridiculous. Yeah, like, you know, there's just going back on those 90 something games at senior inter-county level. Like, there's obviously a massive problem, and the solution was to throw 8 more games on it. So, I've no idea.
Yeah, who would be an under-20 manager? Well, in this instance, Mara Sheridan would be. But that's just our first scratch-the-surface look at the under-20s. We're going to come back in a couple of weeks' time when we're a little bit closer to the championship and dive in a little bit deeper. But while you're on a roll, Ger, and just to let Ed let that latte or that Americano, I'm not sure which he's going to go for, just to let that settle, we want to talk for a few minutes about the new look of the Mayo club football season. Now, I was at a county board meeting last week where this was discussed and voted on and passed, the new league structure for 2022. It was far from conclusive or overwhelming, the vote. That's the first thing I'd say. I'd also say quite a lot of the delegates abstained, didn't vote, as far as I could see. But it was passed. A small number of clubs spoke against it. I know Bonnie Conlon most certainly did. Anthony Egan, the former Mayo footballer, said that Bonnie Conlon were not in favour. And I know, for example, Kilmaine spoke very strongly in favour of it. So can you give us the bluffer's guide, or the idiot's guide in my case, to what's different about the club league structures for this coming season from a guy who's going to be playing in it, obviously, with Bal?
Basically, the leagues are bigger, split in two, and playing semi-finals, quarter-finals actually, semi-finals, finals, and vice versa. At the bottom, you have, I think, 7 guaranteed games. And from our perspective, we were definitely in favour of it because it actually brought us up a division. So we're actually in Division 2 now as opposed to Division 3.
Always nice to get promotion that way.
Yeah. And
congratulations on Bal's promotion, Ger.
I know last time something like this came up, we actually voted against it because we were actually going down a division. So I think it's completely subjective.
All politics is local, yeah.
Absolutely. I think it's not perfect, but I think it definitely helps the idea where you'll try and play as many league games as you possibly can without county players, and then you'll have them back for the latter stages. I think it's working towards that. I think it's not perfect, but I think it's a good move. I'm in favour of it. You're from June to September, it's pretty full on. There's only a couple of weeks in between where you're not going to be playing, but personally, I like it. I think it's going to be an exciting league. I'm a big fan of the league as it is. Anyway, it's not, you know, it's not perfect. I can understand why some teams don't want to play it or aren't in favour of it. But there was a massive hunger, I think, to change the way the leagues are. I don't think you could have a system where you need to, I think it was 11 or 12 league games. It's not really conducive anymore. So this shortens it down and allows competitive games towards the latter stages of the leagues, where over the last number of years, the latter stages of the league often weren't competitive for a lot of clubs. So you'll always be playing competitive right to the end of the league.
Just to be devil's advocate, and again, you can correct me on the specifics here, but one or two speakers at the meeting last week raised the issue that your divisional cup competitions will start in the next few weeks. But around about half the teams in the county will have no competitive matches for 7-8 weeks. Between when they're knocked out of the divisional cup and when the senior league start. That does, on the face of it, look like a pretty big flaw, we'll say, in this particular plan. Or am I missing something?
No, you're not. And it goes back to divisional cups. Like, you know, I'm not in favour of them. I've been long calling for them to be abolished and something else to be brought in. Michael Walsh has gone straight knockout, so you're guaranteed at least one game in most clubs, but you're obviously going to have half the teams gone straight away. From our end on the Kelly Cup, it's going to be two groups of four, so you're guaranteed three games. Then potentially play a semi-final and a final. It'll be done by, I think, end of April, whereas I saw the Amara Cup last night, I think it's running actually till the end of May. So
That actually came about because the South secretary interjected at the county board meeting last week and said that the South were looking for a dispensation. They wanted a longer Amara Cup because they had flagged that issue of no matches for a lot of their teams as being a problem. Now, whether that is going to happen in the other divisions, I'm not quite sure, but it was certainly raised at the meeting. Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't be in favour. I think it's crazy. I think the way it is working right now, ideally, I would have pushed back another few weeks. Use May for your Kelly Cups.
Is the season starting too early? Full stop. When you consider that Ball and everybody else will be out in a few weeks in mid March.
I think it is starting too early. Yeah, it was initially supposed to start Paddy's weekend, which I think would have been crazy. Now it's starting the week after. You know, it's kind of half starting, if you like. It's obviously Kelly Cup and Michael Walsh. It wouldn't exactly be, you know, you can call them competitive games, but they're not serious games. I know from our approach, we're very much looking at it from just get lads on the field. We're not taking it massively serious or anything like that. Our big push is not going to start until end of April into May. We're only getting back on the field the next Sunday, so we'll only have maybe 2 weeks of field training before we get into the Kelly Cup. Whether it puts us up or down if we win or not, you know, it doesn't really. So in that sense, it is starting too early, because teams are just looking at the Kelly Cup and Michael Walsh now as something that's kind of irrelevant. And it's a shame, because, you know, historically it probably means a lot to people, but I think the attitude from clubs towards it, certainly from our point of view, is that, look, we just get them out of the way, use them as challenge games, and try and get out of them unscathed.
Last word on the club football chat. There'll be lots more, obviously, in the weeks and months ahead. Even listening to Ger there, I get the feeling I'm going to be busy this year. When am I not? But a quote from Con Moynihan, Ger, that I must put to you. Con is always good for a quote at a county board meeting, to be fair. He's very quick off the draw. He said, any club that sets foot on a pitch in February has issues. And he was obviously aiming that comment at teams who are back training in February outside, trying to build morale and all the rest of it for a season that won't start in earnest, championship-wise, until the month of August. That was his shots-fired moment. Have ye set foot in a pitch, or did ye, in February? And would you agree with Con? Anyone who's outside in February, do they have issues?
I wouldn't say he's wrong. Yeah, it's great. I actually heard of some clubs that were out training at the end of January. Never mind February, which is
You care to mention any names?
No, I better not. But it definitely wasn't us. Thank God, we've been in the yoga studio there over the last couple of weeks, and that's about.
I was going to say you look like a man who's been doing his yoga. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Is that a compliment or an insult, Mike? But maybe it's a long hair.
No, you're looking good. You're looking very fit. You look like if championship was on next week, Jerry, you look like you're ready to go.
Yeah, looks. I think if you went out and did a set of tempo runs, 70-meter runs, I'd be struggling. But there's also the other side of the token where, not up until very recently, we thought we'd be playing a match on Paddy's Day. So, February and Paddy's Day is only what, 6 weeks, 5 weeks, 4 weeks away from Paddy's Day, and clubs are obviously eager to get back out, get ready for that, get organised. So. There's two ways of looking at it. Yes, it's lunacy, but at the same time, there is a path to lunacy given to them by, at administration level.
Yeah, that sounds good to me. Next time there's a county board meeting, I'll be back with more one-liners from Con Moynihan and Sean McHale.
I think that should be a regular section of the podcast now, Mike.
Yeah, well, going by my experience at county board meetings, if we put in everything we heard, we'd have loads of content for podcasts, no doubt about it.
Want even more Mayo football podcasts? Become a member of our Patreon club to get bonus pods, join our Discord chat group, and ask us anything about Mayo football. All for just €5 a month plus VAT. Go to patreon.com/Mayo Podcast.
That's it from me, Ed and Jer, for this week's podcast. We're heading into the clubhouse now, the three of us, for a chat for our members. Just to round off this week's podcast, we're going to have a chat about the Mayo squad, the extended Mayo squad, and about some of the guys we haven't seen so far in action, and give you an update on where we think they are or where we know they are, and just tease that out a little bit more. But for everybody else, we hope you enjoyed the show as much as we did. We will be back with another podcast later this week for our members. That's a chat with Galway, the former Galway footballer Barry Cullinan, just to get the view from the other side of the border, how the tribesmen are shaping up in Division 2 and how much they think they're going to beat Mayo by, I suppose, in the Connacht Championship as well. I'm not quite sure if Barry put a number on it or not, but knowing Barry, he's confident, if nothing else. And then we'll be back, of course, next week to build up to the Mayo Kerry game in Tralee on Saturday week, and that's one we just can't wait for. So until then, mind yourself, take care, and we'll talk to you soon.